Now, I tell you, as you listen to these messages, there's a lot in them, and you're probably going to have to listen to them more than one time. In fact, I'm sure of that, to catch the concepts. And thank the Lord that you have revelation knowledge assisting you. Mm-hmm. So you move from just a legal understanding, oh, yeah, that's biblical history. No, we need to move it over to vital so it's working for us. In Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses or our sins, according to the riches of his grace or the riches of his favor.
Yes, that's right.
Things are changing.
And we have redemption. That means we're redeemed. He sees us as righteous. And those of you who have a real unworthy attitude about yourselves, you need to ask God to cleanse your mind of that old mindset, because now as a born-again believer, you're not unworthy anymore. You can go boldly before the throne of God because he sees you as righteous. Remember what Darren says, you don't have a sense of guilt or inferiority or condemnation or fear any longer because you're in Christ Jesus.
That's not your identity anymore.
That's so good. So those
labels,
your identity.
Those labels have been peeled right off your forehead and right off your heart. So
absolutely,
you're a new creation. 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and folks, that is a choice. Mm. You have to choose to walk with Jesus and
so
be like
good.
Jesus. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. His blood can do the job. Now, in the Old Testament, the blood of the animals, which was a different life force in the animal blood, just covered the sins of the people in the Old Testament at the time of sacrifice. And they had to do that annually, right?
That's right. But then, right in the middle of the Old Testament, Darren, God is laying foundations for a new plan, a new covenant. And I just read Isaiah 53, but let's go over to Isaiah 52, verse 13. And it's underlined, the exalted servant. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. And that has messianic prophetic utterances of the cross experience. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man. And here is what I want you to remember. He will sprinkle many nations. Sprinkle? What concept did they have in the Old Testament, Isaiah, of sprinkling? And here, all they knew was the sprinkling of the blood of animals and goats and bulls. But Darren, here, the Son of God sprinkled his blood, as you said, when that sword went into his side and the blood from the thorns in his head went out into the atmosphere. It sprinkled all the nations of the world. Oh, I can't fathom that. And you're right. We have to accept that by faith.
Well, and I believe we have. And we need to keep saying, Lord, I thank you that I understand this. See, you need to be proactive. Say, yep, I got it. I've got it. Thank you, Jesus. I understand
it. I got it, Jesus.
And, you know, when you do that, I mean, things are going to change for you. I mean, really change for you. But you have to, let me say it this way. Sometimes we have to pretend, if that's the only word you can accept, for the moment that you understand it. You need to walk around saying, thank you, Lord, I understand this. Thank you, Lord, I've got it. But you know what we often do, Barbara, is we walk around saying, boy, I just can't understand this stuff. It's just beyond me. Well, we shouldn't say that. We should go back and take it. See, in a way, we're saying, well, God, I'm just unteachable. I mean, I'm one of the tough nuts that will never get it. And I know you're God, but, you know, I'm just a human being, and I'm not getting this. And therefore, I'm unique. Don't buy that lie from the devil. You're not unique. You can learn.
That's right. And what we say, the last word, what you hear, like, I can't get it, I'm stupid, I'm an idiot, I'm ignorant, I'll never learn. Those last words that you say to yourself, they go into you. They go into you, and you are giving your self-prophecy. You are prophesying over yourself, in other words, and what you are saying is going to come to pass. So if you continue to say negatives over your life, guess what? Your life is going to be a minus.
See, I think you need to ask God if you have a death wish.
You know, Darren, I wonder if some people really
do. Oh, sure they do. I mean, you can, if you'd followed them around for a little while, you would hear them say, you know, one member in my family would say, well, they just love that to death. Well, now, what in the world could that mean? You know, I just thought I was going to die. Well, some of those words, we need to really take account of our words.
Sad.
Now, you and I are accountable to each other with our words, and then, of course, we're using the Word of God. You use the Word on God on me to straighten me out, don't you?
Well, it's about the only thing you'll listen to. If I do quote a scripture, then at least you'll listen up for a few minutes.
For a few minutes, well. But, you know, we need to watch our mouth, and I'll tell you why that is so critical. When we become discreet in our language, we will better understand the discreet language of God. When he says, I'm going to do this for you, you'll believe it. Mm-hmm. You won't be vacillating around looking for second meanings and third meanings and shaded meanings and symbolic, mm-hmm. you know, is this symbolic or is it for real? It's not symbolic, it's for real. Now, symbolism may come later, but it's for real. When God says, I forgave your sins, he means that.
Yes, he really
does. I forgave your sins and I removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. So where are they?
They're gone.
They're out in the middle of the Pacific somewhere down the Mariana Trench, you know. I mean, we've got to realize they are buried in the deepest sea.
They really are.
That's what the word says.
And Darren, I believe if we keep digging them up, it's like a farmer that goes up out and keeps digging up his plants. They'll never produce. Well, if we keep digging up and dredging up the old past, it's never going to be go away from us. That will continue to be our identity. And in Isaiah 43, verse 25, Darren, God is speaking here prophetically through Isaiah. He's saying, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you might be proved right. See, God sees us as righteous through the blood of Jesus. He wants us to come to him. We couldn't have come to him before in a sinful state, because God can't stand sin in his presence. But he is saying here, through the blood of Jesus, you can come and argue your case with me. Come on, come on, come on. Argue your case. And I believe it's so important to know that the blood of Jesus makes us righteous. And, oh, I know, some of you are saying, well, I don't feel righteous. Well, some of those old habits are hanging on. But you know what? As you confront those habits and address those habits and put them under the blood of Jesus and take one habit at a time, don't just take the whole ugly bunch and be general. You got to be specific here. Father God, I've got a horrible habit of gossip. Every time I have the opportunity, I gossip. And so, Father God, I want you to take that gossip and that lying out of my identity and out of my spirit in Jesus' name, that I no longer do that. And if I even begin to open my mouth, Father, help me and convict me. So you can go back to, I believe it's in Psalm 39:1, that says, help me to guard my mouth, Lord. Help me to have a watched mouth. Yes. Is it? Yes. In Psalm 39:1, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. And as we go back to those, see, we can overcome those old habits. They'll try to come back. But then you can use the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God on them. And you know what? Pretty soon, they'll get the hint.
Well, I think part of that confessing scripture is what helps us renew the habit patterns of our minds. And our habit patterns, after we've been born again, God takes care of our spirit. But then Romans 12:2, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. In other words, the way we function, so that we automatically think good and not automatically think evil. Automatically think positive. Automatically believe that God can do everything he said he could do and not question him. See, now we're taught in our public schools to question everything. You know, the age of reason. Let me tell you, if the Bible says that we need to accept it and say, God, I know you're not a liar. If I don't understand it, the problem's on my side, not on your side.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep going until I do understand it.
Well, and you were just quoting Romans 12:2. And in Romans 1:12:1, it's presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, some of us will never have to experience a bloody sacrifice. We won't have to experience somebody stabbing us. Now, there are people around the world, Darren, that are giving their lives for Jesus Christ this day. But us in America, most of us will never experience that. But on a daily basis, we are committing our bodies. We are sacrificing. We are, in fact, cutting off those old identities, those sinful identities, on a daily basis, and like you said, renewing our mind.
Okay, I want to slip over into Exodus just a minute, and then I'll come back to Hebrews 10.
Okay.
In Exodus 24, there's an awesome story where God came down and prepared a meal, and Moses, there had already been a sacrifice, and he kept part of the blood in a basin, and he sprinkled the people with part of the blood. And because of that blood sprinkling, they could enter the presence of God. Otherwise, they would have died. But the blood covering or the blood sprinkling allowed them to go.
Now, this wasn't all the people.
No, it was only 70 elders.
That's right.
Moses and Aaron and Adab, Nadab and Abihu. I won't try to name them all. But these 70 elders went with Moses and Aaron up to the mountain, and they had a meal served by God.
I wonder what it was.
I don't know. But I tell you, it's just, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. Mm. Now, then God spoke to Moses, says, come on up to the mountain. When we go over to Hebrews chapter 10, and sometimes, Barbara, we run around with a fouled up idea of who we really are. And we have not accepted the fullness of Jesus Christ when he says, you become new creations in Jesus. Well, some of us run around with a guilt complex over sins that have long since been forgiven.
Yes.
So I want to read this verse in Hebrews 10:19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, when I find a person that still says, oh, I'm unworthy, Darren, you don't know what terrible things I did. I know you say that I'm forgiven and God, the book says I'm forgiven, but I don't feel forgiven. One of the things that we can do here is say, by faith, I accept the cleansing blood of Jesus. And I like to see people put hands on their heart, on their chest, and hands on top of their head and say, by faith, I take the sprinkled blood of Jesus and cleanse my evil conscience from thinking wrong thoughts.
Yes.
From thinking that I'm still trash and no good and I'm still a sinner and I haven't paid for my sins. I tell you, you can never pay for your sins.
That's right.
Even if you wanted to, you can never pay for your sins. Jesus paid the bill. Now, some of you just need to stop that stiff-neckedness and say, okay, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to accept this thing, and grace says you didn't deserve it anyway. God knows you didn't deserve it. You know you didn't deserve it, but he said that's not the deal. Here it is. My son Jesus shed his blood. He became the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the sacrificial object to pay the bill, because you could never pay it.
That's right.
There's no way you could pay it. So he came down. I sent him as my son. He hung on the cross willfully, shed his blood.
And voluntarily
shed his blood. Because it was the only way that man could truly be reconciled to me, Heavenly Father, because I'm a holy God.
Oh, praise God.
And it had to be my bloodline that made the difference.
That's right. Not our bloodline. Jesus' bloodline. And I know what's so wonderful now, that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, Darren, it's no longer our blood running through our veins. And a lot of our friends, a lot of you listening out there, are realizing that if there is an attack of illness or disease, you can say, the blood of Jesus courses through my veins, and devil, you have no part of my body, because my body was bought with a price. And we see here in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. You're no longer your own, folks. And you can't be so stubborn and stiff-necked, like Darren was just saying, that you say, well, I'll tell you, I got a real different take on this, or I'm in a different situation, or I got something that happened to me that nobody's ever done. That, get rid of that self-pity. Get rid of that exclusive identity, that sinful identity, and accept Jesus Christ. Let Holy Spirit dwell in you and change you, because you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
You know, I think many times pride gets in there and says, oh, I'm so special. I mean, I am just so special. I've committed such horrendous sins, or I've been under such an awful attack. Nobody has ever felt the amount of pain I've, you know. That's pride. We got to lay that thing down and say, listen, I am not unique. I'm there with everybody else. I am just Joe average or Sue average sinner. And God, forgive me. I need your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, he can forgive the most horrendous crime. He can forgive the little white lie, quote unquote, which really isn't a white lie, it's a black lie. But he can forgive the little sins and the big sins. And you know, we're the ones that put the labels on them.
Yes.
Say, well, this high point sin, that's just not very serious. That's a low point sin. Let me tell you, parents and grandparents, when you discipline your children, your grandchildren, there's no such thing as a minor infraction. Now, I don't mean that you just have to come down and slam them. I'm not saying that. But you can't let them off the hook. A lie is a lie. Truth is truth. And you need to get that straightened out in their little minds. And when they do deviate, you need to help them through discipline and through counseling, through understanding and through prayer. Because we've got a lot of people growing up today that think, well, situation ethics, you know, truth is what I say it is to be in my life. I know you go by a different understanding of the word. No. We need to come back here to the plumb line of the gospel and say what is right and what is wrong. Now, when we do that, because holy God, righteous God, holy God will not allow sin. It can't mix with holy. It's like trying to put oil and water together. They won't mix.
Well, that's right.
They'll always be separate by their very nature.
And you know, the root of double-mindedness that James talks about in the first chapter, that a double-minded man will not receive anything from God, I believe the real root is that person that has not accepted the blood of Jesus, not accepted the full redemption of the blood of Jesus, and has not accepted, like your prayer said, give us eyes to understand. Let us understand this
That's blood covenant by faith.
Well,
I think sometimes we have to come to God and say, you know, I'm ill-equipped, or I'm totally unequipped, or I'm just not able to receive this stuff. I don't understand. Okay, God knew that. Well, if we go to 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, you have the mind of Christ. Well, we start affirming that. I have the mind of Christ, therefore I can understand. I don't have enough faith. Father God, give me more faith. Mm-hmm. And I think then what we do is we're saying, God, I want you to equip me so I can understand who you are, what you're about, what this blood business is about. How can I walk in victory in this stinky, lousy world here? How can I get above this junk here and know it? And I believe that's confirmation. And all of us are looking for confirmation. How do I know when I've arrived? How do I know when it's working? Well, we have to, by faith, realize. And sometimes I've done this as an educator. I've said to God, now listen. God, listen up. I don't have my role and your role mixed up. You're God, and I'm Darren. You're the Father God, and I'm a human being down here on the earth. I believe I've been born again, but I'm going to charge you with the responsibility. You're the teacher. I'm the student. You know exactly how I learn. I don't learn like somebody else does. Now, I'm charging you with the responsibility because as much as I know, I'm willing to be taught. I'm teachable. That's what I'm saying. I'm teachable. So teach me. Mm. Now, you may have to send me a book, a video. You may have to send me a friend. You may have to send me a sledgehammer, a two before. I mean, you know what it takes to get through to me. So, Lord, I'm willing, but I don't know how to fix myself. I don't know how to get myself ready. So, you know, and he being the great teacher, he can teach us.
Yes.
See, I don't learn like you do, Barbara, and I don't learn like somebody else does.
That's right.
And we're all really an object of individualized instruction. He can tailor a program tailor-made just for you folks, and he can do that. Let him do. Tell him that that's what you want.
Yes. So, without realizing the blood of Jesus, Darren, and what it has meant to the whole world, you know, he was sprinkled over all the nations, it says in Isaiah 52, then we cannot walk into the new covenant. We're still stuck out there in the old covenant. If we cannot realize that God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven us through the shed blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. And it's no longer through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood that he has obtained eternal redemption for us. I want to go back in the very last part of this teaching, go to Revelation. Talks about the Lamb of God. And we heard about the Lamb of God when John the Baptist was walking on the earth. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Well, in Revelation 5, it gives a description. Now, I believe that the church is now in heaven, and we are seated around the throne of God. And this is in the future, but John gave us a little bit of a look into the future here. And that's why, Darren, I have a real problem with the doctrine of people believing that in the days of the reign, that there are going to again be sacrifices of bulls and goats, because once and for all, Jesus did it for all time. And I have just a little problem with that. I don't agree with that. But here in Revelation 5, and this is John, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and we know him who sat on the throne is our Father God, Jehovah, a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion is that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome as to open the book and its seven seals." Now remember, the tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe, but God changed everything here, and he brought the lamb from the tribe of Judah, who was the praise, the tribe that means praise. He brought the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who has overcome to open the book. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing, capital L Lamb, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he came and he took out of the right hand of God who sat on the throne. And this is the lamb, Darren, that we're talking about this morning, that shed his blood. This was the only one who could open these scrolls in this book. And the whole traumatic tribulation takes place after that, after we're in heaven. But then as Jesus comes as a conquering hero in Revelation 19, we see him on a white horse. He's called Faithful and True. He wages war with the wicked and the evil on the earth who have not confessed him. And in the 13th verse of Revelation 19, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ, the one who hung on the cross, and throughout the whole New Testament, the New Covenant, because, Darren, we read in Hebrews 8:13, the first covenant has become obsolete. So now we're in a brand new covenant where the one who wrote the covenant has had to die. That's Jesus Christ himself.
Well, I'd like to go back and read this out of Revelation 5, verse 12.
Oh, okay.
They were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." By the way, folks, that's a wonderful battle scripture. And sometimes when I just sense that there's a lot of problems, I'll just start quoting that scripture. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." Now, when we say those things, that's what the angels are perpetually saying before the throne of God.
Yes.
We're agreeing with heaven's plan.
Yes.
Now, I want to pray with you today because I believe that some of you need this prayer. You need to pray it along with us. I'll ask you to pray along with Barbara because we want that cleansing blood of Jesus to become a vital application to you and to your conscience so that anything that's not right should be taken away. Now, what are we after here? We're after congruence. We want you to get lined up so you're not double-minded anymore, so that you know that you know from inside out, from your heart and spirit, mind and soul, and circumstances, that you know you got it lined up.
That the blood of Jesus has delivered you from all the sins of the past as you have confessed.
Exactly. And you're not splattered and scattered. Mm-hmm. You're all together. You got it all together. You're congruent here. So let's pray together.
Praise God.
Father God, I thank you.
Father God, I thank you.
For the shed blood of Jesus.
For the shed blood of Jesus.
For the sprinkled blood of Jesus.
For the sprinkled blood of
Jesus.
Now
by faith.
Now by faith.
I apply. The sprinkled blood of Jesus.
Sprinkled blood of Jesus.
To my heart.
To my heart.
To my mind.
To my mind.
To my soul.
To my soul.
To my habits.
To my habits.
And Lord, I thank you.
And Lord, I thank you.
I'm being cleansed. From everything.
From everything.
That doesn't agree with your redemption.
That doesn't agree with your redemption.
I declare I'm redeemed.
I declare I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
I agree with what you say.
I agree with what you say.
About me.
About me.
You say you love me.
You say you love me.
I receive your love.
I receive your
love. I am cleansed by the sprinkled blood of Jesus.
I am cleansed by the sprinkled
blood of Jesus. I walk in faith.
I walk in
faith. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And we can say with the Revelation 5, Darren, oh, praise God, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood. Oh, friends, you've got to believe in the blood of Jesus. You got to ask God to take you deeper into that blood covenant. Men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Hallelujah.
You know, Barbara, I know that we have a 2-tape message on communion. I'm going to recommend that our friends get that today. But right now I'm going to say to you, you could take communion at home. And hopefully with this background of the Old Testament and the New, communion will be real special to you. I know that's not a core part of this teaching, but I'm going to say to you, why don't you get your elements ready at home, get the cup ready and get the bread ready. And Jesus is the host of every communion meal. And sit down at the table and invite Jesus to be there. And if it makes it more meaningful to you, leave an empty chair for Jesus. And you sit down there and then you pray over the bread and over the cup. And you pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I bless the bread and the cup to be spiritually your broken body and your shed blood. And Jesus and Father God, I'm asking you to pray over this also and to bless these elements. So when we take these elements, we know that it defeats sin and sickness. But now before you take communion, I'd make sure I'd say, God, is there any sin in my life? Is there anything between me and you? Because I don't want to take this unworthily. See, I don't want to take this as a sinner or having sin in my life. Let me say it that way. So then you go back and then you pray over that bread and you pray over the cup. Break the bread and then serve yourself or your wife or your husband or your family or your prayer partner. And have a communion meal with Jesus and read the scriptures. You know, read the scripture and God will be there with you. And I'll tell you, I would recommend that you do that whenever you have a big decision to make. And a lot of people don't do that. But I'd sit down and I'd say, God, I mean, I am facing a tremendous decision here and I need your help.
Or if we're attacked with sickness or disease or illness, that's an important time to do that.
Exactly. But then I would pray and I believe that God was setting me free of all of those things that are coming against me.
Yes.
Father God, we cover this teaching today with the power and the anointing that's in the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and in the Word of God. Father God, we believe that we taught everything is consistent with the Word. And we ask now that you would bury this in our hearts as we listen to these messages and that we would have a better understanding, a revelation of what your blood is all about. We pray this. We offer it up to you, Jesus. We thank you. It's for you that we work. Amen.